Welcome back to another episode of the Bad Taste Video Podcast, episode 298 to be exact. I'm Mike. I'm here with Grizz and a very special guest, Dr. Benny Graves. But before we get into this, let's hit that intro, baby. What an intro song for a movie. But like I said,
disappointing title screen though, I will say.
Well, we couldn't show like the full thing because it's straight to nudity because it's a Donald Farmer film. But like I said, we have a very special guest. Been years in the making, I guess you could say. I believe we've spoken about this for a very long time, but Dr. Benny Graves of many projects. you may know him from the Say You Love Satan podcast. What else do you have, man? You have you do your Dr.
Writing
Benny.
We're writing for Room Org. We did our stream where I would get blackout drunk and like chop up my VCRs. Notice I'm not in episode 300. Maybe because I'm Jewish. Whatever, no big deal.
We're busted.
No, but I love you guys. I love your commitment to fucking shot on video. It's one of my passions is watching something. Oh, yeah. You know, shot on video and like French black metal have so much in common. Let me tell you about it.
Now we're going to get into the real nitty gritty. This is what I came for.
Well, we've had this movie kind of in the pocket for a while. Been waiting for a special time to pull it out. I finally got it on VHS. It took me years, but I do have a
strong arm
here.
Well, where is it? I witnessed it firsthand, the bullying that took place.
This was not bullying.
For you to get that tape.
Okay. So I was given a tape that I had to find. Do you ever see that? What's that movie with fucking Johnny Depp where he goes and like finds like the fucking books and shit?
The Ninth Gate?
Yeah, whatever the hell that is. Or Cigarette Burns from Masters of Horror with Norman Reedus. Shit. That's me. I find more joy in finding other people's shit than finding stuff for myself. So one of my friends said, listen, like I have all these copies of Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. If you could find me a Japanese release of it, I will give you my Scream Dream. And this was like a couple years ago. Like this was not something that was told to me, you know, very recently. It took me all this time, but I finally found one. And sure as shit, he sent it. And now I am the proud owner of another Tri-World release. This and then there's things that I also have. I'm missing Science Crazed, but I don't think I'm ever going to get that. And I probably won't try to get it because I find that movie incredibly boring. Yes, I just don't get it.
Not that great.
If it was like fucking $50 maybe, but I can't do the Tri-World price. I can't.
Dude, let me tell you, this story is worth talking about. I think you guys especially will appreciate this. I was visiting my buddy who lives in Mount Zion, Pennsylvania. So it's in like right around Centralia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, let's go look for tapes or whatever. We go past this fucking video game place. He's like, we'll see what they have. Looking around. And I find like some cool stuff like Boggy Creek 2, Eyes of Fire, whatever. I look up on a shelf and the dude has for, I think like $50, Truth or Dare in plastic. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that. make me a deal or whatever. I bought like eight tapes. I ended up paying $12 for the sealed Truth or Dare.
That's awesome. Yeah. In some like random shop.
Like my buddy was like, I had to walk away from you because you were so fucking po-faced when you were like, yeah, I'm buying like 12 tapes here, man. Make me a deal.
You have to do it. You have to. Hey, if you don't take a shot, man, you're never going to score. So, you know, you miss 100% of the shots.
Come on.
Well, dude, I went to that fucking local VHS swap. It was like a very small one. Maybe when I was back on Long Island, maybe like 45 minutes out east from where I was. And I'm walking, I'm like looking around. I'm like, oh, I don't really see anything. All of a sudden I look on the fucking like counter and there's a Video Violence 2. I'm like, oh. And he's like,
you got this too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, how much for that? He's like, I think I paid like $60 for it or something like that.
$60 for it. I remember because I was very upset with you.
Yeah. I was like, I got part two before I got part one. I'm one of the few people that did it in the reverse order. So I could say, pat myself.
I mean, my most apeshit story has to be that, like, the Goodwill by me, before it's like renovated, they won't even take shit anymore. Like, I showed up with a bunch of like, like pots, and they were like, they're too used. I'm like, what the fuck? But back then, the dude who worked there was like, oh, you like horror movies? And some dude either died. I fucking spent all his money on drugs, and his parents kicked him out of his house, and they took his whole collection. This dude brings out, I'm not fucking with you, I bought The Burning Moon for $1 at a Goodwill. And like, I was like, what? Are you fucking with me? It was like Traces of Death 1 and 3, The Burning Moon, The Reanimator, like all like beautiful stuff. And I was just like, what the fuck happened here? Like, what resulted in this happening?
Dude, it does happen. I found somebody's whole early 90s death metal cassette collection at the local fucking it's called Unique. But like, I'm looking around and all of a sudden I see like Butchered at Birth and shit. I'm like, huh.
Whoa.
Interesting. And there's like other ones in the bag with it. I'm like, oh, literally, dude. I think I spent like a total of like $15 and I just walked away with all these 90s death metal cassettes. I was like, holy shit. I also found a fucking Merciful Fate, Don't Break the Oath there. I was like, what the fuck? Who the fuck was listening
same
to
day?
This here? No. It was like literally maybe like 2 weeks before. Yeah. It was very close to it though. So it could
have
been.
That's why you went
same.
Back. You found a little bit of.
Oh, hell yeah.
They kept feeding. That's
I thought I was
when
looking for the vein.
Spot, you go back.
I was looking for the vein, bro.
it's fucking harder now. Like, I got to be honest. Like, now you'll literally go to a record store and there'll be a guy with a laptop open looking at stuff. Oh,
yes.
So many times, dude. I've had to deal with and fucking flea markets. I've had to deal with that, dude. It's fucking crazy.
And look, Sarah's so deeply entrenched in that shit too that people will be like, "Well, this is how much it is on eBay," and I'll be like, "Then go to eBay."
Yeah.
Then I'll go there. Like, what's the point of you making this a competitive marketplace if you're not going to give me a deal?
Yeah, yeah. I miss being able. I used to go to like comic conventions like fucking all the time, and I'll never forget. Like somebody standing there, my buddy's like looking to buy, it was some random, you know, single issue. And the guy's like, oh, $30. And this was like maybe 2007, 2008 or something. My buddy's like, what the fuck kind of price is that? He looks on eBay, fucking like $5. He stands right in front of the guy, just goes, nah, that's all right. And just buys it right in front of him. What the fuck ever happened in those days? But like the eBay price was the cheaper one. Like that's long gone. That used to be like the deal, but I don't know. But let's get into this movie. We have Scream Dream from 1989, a Donald Farmer metal horror film. That's why we have Dr. Benny Graves here, because we felt that this movie fit him perfectly. EK, I'm sorry, man. I know you wanted to do this one, but we'll bring you back for like Blood Tracks or something like that. I know you would enjoy that. Gloomy Vampire.
I'm mad. He's only talking to Benny. He's not even going to say what's up
no,
to
he
us.
No, he fucking hates us now. Laser Graves, fucking bad taste beef now. East Coast, West Coast.
Yo, Laser Graves, fuck yeah, man.
Gloomy Vampire, what's going on, Brendan Timmons? What's up? Oh, Brendan Timmons went to a Dungeon Synth Fest, and
oh,
it was unbelievably fucking sick, he said. We got into a little chat. Yeah, a little chat about Dungeon Synth last week, and this dude was going to a festival of it. And
I owe you guys the dino stint still, and I will deliver, but it's not going to be this week. We got something special lined up for later, but I will bring some dino synth to the mix soon for you guys to check out.
Jane Doe, what is also up? So Scream Dream, a movie that played at VHS Fest, what, maybe 3-4 years ago or less than that?
It might have been two.
2 years
ago? 2 years
ago. Yeah. A movie that if you didn't actually know what you were watching, you would think it was some sort of torture with the way that they play the theme over and over. But I love it, so it doesn't bother me at all. But I know it might grind some people to, you know, grind their gears a little bit.
Speak of the devil, he shall appear. Here's Grave Spitter himself in the chat for a change.
Daddy.
The original owner of that Scream Dream that I have. Thank you, my man. So Grizz, do you want to give a little synopsis of this film, or do you want me to do
absolutely
it? Oh, you got it. Nice. All right. Go.
No, I said absolutely not.
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. Oh, I said absolutely. All right. I'll do it. We have a band who's, I guess, gaining some sort of popularity due to their outrageous lead singer, but she is thrown out due to her antics and, I guess, record label concerns about lawsuits and other things. So she's replaced with another singer who happens to end up on the same path as her through supernatural means. I guess I could have made that a little bit less convoluted, but there's a witch involved and a monster that looks like a fucking penis. It's
why I wanted you to do this and not me.
Yeah.
Like every Donald Farmer movie, it's got the goods, but it may not have the best story to pull everything together. It's not his strong suit. His strong suit is really filming some boobies. I mean, that's really where Donald Farmer is at his best, I think.
Yeah.
I was like, am I watching Scream Dream? Or I'm watching an Instagram feed where these girls are going to sell concho belts for too much money to me.
They're going to tell you about some sort of tea to buy right after the... but Donald Farmer, you may know from Demon Queen, Cannibal Hookers, which we covered a while back, Savage Vengeance. That's another one that... Chris, where are you? I think you were a fan of that. Or you wanted the tape for a while, right?
Didn't want the tape for a while. Good movie, though, as well.
Yep, great Vampire movie. Cop. That's another one.
We did that one long, and that's a fucking rough movie. Dude.
Are you familiar with Vampire Cop?
Oh yeah. Am I ever? Dude, you know what? You know what Shadow and Video is like? You ever watch that blooper of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where it's supposed to be Rickety Cricket and he's like, yeah, sometimes you just let it happen and then it's so good that you come. And then he's like, sometimes it just ends. And I was like, that's how I feel about Shot on Video.
That's a perfect example.
Well, we're coming up on almost 300 episodes. We've watched a ton of movies that Grizz has thought were absolute stinkers. I somehow always find, like a redeeming quality. I think I just feel bad. Like somebody put some effort into it, so I want to at least give them like a pat on, like an attaboy.
Yeah, you do have a way of forgiving the unforgivable.
But
in
movies like Vampire Cop, man, it's just too soft for me. I don't know what the fuck.
Okay, we can at least agree. I was like, dude, Vampire Cop fucking sucked. Like, are we really gonna sit here and talk about this being a good movie again?
No, that's not a good one. But Scream Dream has a ton of fucking amazingly funny dialogue, intentional or not. I don't think it is, but the delivery half the time is incredibly funny. Just everything about this works in a way that even though like there's some shitty things about it, it's still like endearing. Like it still makes you want to fucking watch it. I watched it 3 times today. I felt like the girl in fucking the original Guinea Pig when they're putting the headphones on or just cranking it up. But I don't know, man. I think this has one of the best theme songs out of any metal movie that we've watched.
No.
Yes. The Scream Dream song.
I love jumping into this existing dynamic you've had where you've both been broken by like years of Shot on Video. And I'm watching it. And there's the scene where it's Michelle Shock and like he's watching a music video of her that cuts to a news report about the concert happening. And it's like fucking I Think You Should Leave shit where it's like the voiceover. Where it's like Michelle Shock in concert tonight. And like I was like, who the fuck is that? What's happening here?
Well, that guy is like, oh, shit. How did I forget it was tonight? We gotta go. Like that,
he steals the girl's cash. He's like, your car payment can be late. I don't care.
Yeah, you can be a little late on your car payment. Like, he literally just throws her under the bus immediately. So they go to the concert and he's like, oh, we're gonna try to meet Michelle Shock. We're going backstage. He fucking introduces himself and then he's like, oh yeah, this is my sister. She's like, I'm Whoa. Not your sister, I'm your girlfriend. Like,
and, I was like, dude, also, did you see that place that they're in? That the bouncer in that place will put a fist into your ass like Cannibal Holocaust style and will come out of your mouth. Did you fucking see that venue? That dude, I don't even know what his name is, like Jeff Blumpkins or whatever, would get fucking murdered in this club.
That's a great name, Jeff Blumpkins.
Apparently, I saw in some other fucking thing, somebody was saying that this bar was a frequent hangout spot for Cheech and Chong. They were in town, where was this taken? Was this Tennessee?
Better movie with them in it, that's for sure.
Right? Isn't this fucking Tennessee? I think. Cookeville, Tennessee. I don't know what the fuck they're doing there, but I'll take it. It's the internet; it never lies. So,
can I just ask a serious question? What the fuck is going on with a turtleneck and a leather jacket combination? I have never fucking seen this before in my entire life.
Are we talking about a Great Value Dave Mustaine? Is that what we're talking about?
This is like our boy Gravespitter here in the chat with a fucking curly haired wig on. That's what I kept thinking the entire time I fucking watched this fucking movie.
Well, that's that's apparently the real band. That's Ricochet or Ricochet, whatever. Like everybody Nicky playing Riggs. An instrument.
I like that was his name in the fucking credit, Nicky Riggs.
Hey man, you had to have a cool name back there. But you know, I want to kind of get back to this opening sequence of these two people meeting Michelle Shock, because she immediately is you want to hook up? Like just with the guy's girlfriend in the room, like she don't give a shit. And he ends up having like a really, really awful time when he agrees to it, right? He kind of gets what he deserves.
He was having a good time at first. But
then, you can tell he's having a good time because he looks like he's high and looking for where his car is in a parking lot when he's getting head. Because his fucking eyes are like,
E5? Is that the fucking road?
Hold on, we have the clip here. Let me just I just gotta fix something.
Wait, dude, you're not
under. Yeah, I'm just, yeah, whatever.
There he is. That he's looking like hypnotized by the.
How he's got like a dress shirt on tucked into his pants too. Right? It looks like, or is that just a t-shirt?
He looks like James Vanderbeek's twin brother, you know?
I love the butt grab with the claws. That's great.
Yeah, she
gets the member
off,
out.
Yeah, she bites off his dick. He was hanging dong and he paid for it. I like the version of the song that's playing because it sounds like a Shreds version of the theme. Like, it's all like kind of like wonky. And like, I kind of get what they were trying to do, but I feel like these guys could actually like rip. Like, you'll hear, like, there's a couple solos in the songs. Like, they could fucking play. Why did this sound like the guy was fucking like, I don't know. Like, it sounded like totally just off. I don't know. Is that just me?
I went through the whole stages of grief with the Scream Dream theme song where I was like, all right, what the fuck is this? And I was like, oh, I fucking hate this. And I was like, No, I love this. I think I want to marry this. We're going to be the prom king and queen of the fucking trailer park. And like,
I
was just like,
good enough then. I'm at the hate it stage myself.
I was like, more flanger. More fucking flanger.
Okay, wait. When the flanger came out, I was on board for that part. I'm not going to lie. You got me there.
Do you just hate the fact that they literally loop it? That like they'll just be playing it over and over and over. It'll stop and then start again as soon as it goes to the next scene. Is that the problem that you guys have? Like, I'm just trying to learn it, man. I just have to hear it over and over. Maybe I could play it on guitar eventually. Who knows?
Well, I also wrote this kind of high, but I'm pretty sure. And I wrote, and now it's time for, we have Chastain comma, bitch, comma, detente, comma, cat at home. Like, the cat at home. I was scared, dude. I was scared that this was going to be the only song they played the whole time.
No, like, no.
When they were like, yeah.
There's other shit in this. One song actually just sounds like the Scream Dream song, just like halftime. Did you notice that one? But like there is like,
idea here, guys.
Yeah, there is like slight differences, but apparently that band Ricochet? I guess Ricochet, right? That would be the right way. I don't know.
Rigatone.
But I guess they did all the music, like the actual shit. So we could find them.
Here says it's the same band from Savage Vengeance in the bar.
Huh. Well, it's, I guess Donald Farmer always just kind of like used the same people, right? We had a lot of mixing.
What I can tell you is that they're probably the second best Thin Lizzy cover band at the fucking talent show. All right.
Seriously, and that was what I was going to say when Mike brought up that bullshit about this being like the best fucking metal. I was like, you're going to say that Black Roses and Thin Lizzy didn't fucking.
Oh, shit.
I mean, Lizzie Borden. I'm sorry. Fucking Lizzie Borden and fucking.
Dude,
I'm
taking this.
Black Roses is by far the best fucking heavy metal theme song.
Well,
what about like DC LaCroix, Devil's Son from Hack-A-Lantern?
I love Hack-A-Lantern, yeah.
What about Fast Way with Trick or Treat? That whole album's good.
I know EK's going to love that one, but that's not. Dude, I'm telling you, man.
What about who did fucking.
Me Against the World is the fucking jam.
Oh yeah, that is a good song.
It's the fucking jam. It's a good fucking song, dude.
But
just partial because I'm a huge fucking Lizzie Borden fan in general. I think all that shit rules,
so man. Who did good, dude.
Who did Rocktober Sorry. Blood?
Fuck.
Who did
That was they were just
Sorcerer.
They were in the Sorcerer. Yeah. Fucking
Sorcerer.
In Thanksgiving, I think he has like a fucking Sorcerer t-shirt on in one scene.
Did he?
I didn't fucking obsessed. Yeah.
I gotta rewatch it now. God damn it. I was kinda like, I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty good. Did you watch
it? Yeah, I think it's his best fucking movie since Cabin Fever that he's made. But
dude, Cabin Fever is one of those movies that I feel like a lot of people that are like in their like late teens, early 20s have never seen. It was in that weird like dead period of movies. It is one of the best modern horror movies, I think, like that's out there. I think is awesome.
I had this thing where I had like this Eli Roth beef for a long time. And then like, I kind of like broke it down and I was like, why do I fucking not like this guy? And I really didn't have any legitimate answers because a lot of the stuff he did, I actually like, I kind of enjoyed at the time, like the gore porn stuff that he put out and all that after Cabin Fever, like not fucking bad.
You fucking nailed it. And I had the same fucking thing. And I had the same thing with Rob Zombie. And my thing is, these dudes, when they talk, they mention all the shit we like. And then when they put it on screen, and you're like, where the fuck is the disparity here? Like, I heard him talk on, like, Joe Bob about Eli Roth talking about House by the Cemetery. I'm like, this is great. You like all the same things I like about House by the Cemetery. Why can't you put it on paper or put it on celluloid and make it work? I don't know.
Yeah,
I thought Green Inferno was pretty good. I thought that was a solid cannibal film, like a modern cannibal film. Like I think he nailed, you know, the vibe.
It had the same feeling as
like
the old cannibal exploitation stuff.
I went and saw that by myself at like fucking midnight on a Friday night, like the first week it was out. Nobody wanted to go with me. I'm like, fuck it, I'm still going. I don't give a shit. I was sitting there like a weirdo in the theater. It's like,
it was more
than
a Pee Wee Herman trip for you. I was like, ooh, fucking Green Inferno time.
You know the staff was walking up and down the aisle, keeping an eye on me. Like, this guy's fucking gonna do something.
This fucking guy.
But this whole movie basically revolves around this lead singer getting released from the band by the fucking funniest. Is he an agent? Is he what is he? Just like a record exec?
Record producer. You know?
Yeah. Oh my god, this dude is fucking hilarious.
He's my favorite.
When the reporter the reporter wants a statement or some shit, right? Like
his reaction.
Oh my god, we have a clip here that's gonna make me fucking piss my pants because every time I hear it makes me laugh. It may be offensive to some now though. I don't know. We shall see what YouTube says.
Jamie, I've been managing bands for 17 years. And if you always sing that good, maybe my problems are over.
Mr. Sharkey.
Just what the fuck's going on here? Oh, no, not that bitch.
Mr. Sharkey, we understand this is your band's new lead singer. Is this some sort of publicity gimmick to draw attention away from the concert disappearances?
Maybe you people don't catch on so quick. I'm not talking to reporters, especially cunts on the rag.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that written down. I had that line written down.
I had to pull it. The entire way it's delivered, everything that he fucking says in that scene is a hoot, dude. I could listen to that guy all day.
His fucking stage direction was like whatever Tom Cruise's stage direction was in Tropic Thunder when he's supposed to be that fucking executive. They were like, curse more, curse, be meaner, fucking hit women if you have to. That's showbiz, baby.
He's so aggressive, like right off the bat. He's immediately just like,
I was like, oh shit.
He always has something funny to say. I don't know. And it's like the delivery, because he's like forcibly like unsure. Like everything is like, like he's not sure about what he's saying, but he's going to fucking make sure he says it. But as you heard, they let go of the previous singer and we get a new woman who's going to take over the spot. And I don't think we have the other clip when the drummer's girlfriend is like,
Linnea, yeah.
When she's like, hey, I thought you were going to talk to him about me fronting the band. And he's like, I don't have time for this. You're just the fucking drummer's girlfriend. I said to Grizz before,
took the words right out of your
mouth.
Dude,
let me drop dead if I've never said this before to somebody. Like I don't know if you've ever been in a band before, but I've definitely had to have this talk. Like, listen,
listen,
just fucking stay the fuck out of stuff, please. I have enough on my plate right now. Just leave me the fuck alone. Like, go home.
She's like, listen to me. I love you, and I need you to contribute to my fucking craft line of Obsessed by Cruelty crop tops that I'm going to sell for $80 a piece on fucking Etsy. Don't make this happen for me.
Dude, I once had he was a guitar player in my band. He was the other guitar player, and his girlfriend and her friend were in our practice space being like total fucking like assholes, like fucking shit up. And I'm like, yo, if you're gonna be this way, you gotta fucking go. And the girlfriend goes, we have a right to be here. I was like, it fucking excuse me. I had to be like maybe like 19, and we're paying like $400 a month in rent for the practice space. So at that time I'm in college and everything. I have no fucking money. It's like, get the fuck out of here. I don't care who you are. Get the fuck out. And we had to have that talk. Like, listen, stay out of the band business. Please. You're just the girlfriend. Leave us alone, please.
No, and, you turned around with your black drape behind you and you were like, I don't deal with chicks on the fucking rack.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down. That's exactly how it said. I mean, I'm all for it. Like, look, I don't think there should ever be spouses in the practice fucking area of a band. That's rule number fucking one. Just band members in the fucking practice space. That's how I've always operated.
Creative
for that
space.
Reason.
Safe creative space. Right?
Yeah,
let yourself space. Let your emotions out. Let it go.
That's where I cry. with the boys.
Hey, it's happened. I have a question here. Maybe somebody could answer it. Maybe one of you guys, because I am a little confused. There is a penis demon in this that constantly appears. Is that the actual thing? That's the actual thing that is making these other monsters, that's like possessing these women? Okay. Right?
I personally thought, okay, because we'll see later on in the movie that like you're able to possess other people by like biting them and shit, kind of like a zombie effect, right? Like, cause that one.
Yeah. And somebody else gets like visual, like Kreskin fucking.
I assumed that this penis monster was the bitten off penis from the person from the first scene that had become
That's fucking lore,
dude,
man.
That's zombie it. Monster,
like a zombie dick, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I could be way off base here, but that's how I took it.
Wait, do I have the fucking, let's see.
The only way I can think of it.
Do you guys want to see a neck-sucking possession, or do you want to see a neck-eating by the penis monster?
We just show the penis monster. We just talked
show
about
the penis.
Okay, let's say next sucking creature.
Show me the peepee.
Show me. Let's hang some monster dog. Yeah, so it looks kind of like a rat, like a ghoulie. If a ghoulie.
This
was
is like pure like heavy metal nightmare slash like Black Rose's energy from this fucking thing.
This definitely is. 100%.
And I, you know what? That's the most
rock and roll nightmare for sure.
Necrotic wiener monster is probably the coolest explanation. I was just like, oh, it's Michelle Shock's fucking monster familiar that hangs out at her place.
But it like keeps sense. Going. Yeah, it goes on after she's like quote unquote dead, which is. Yeah. I don't know. I guess this thing is just
The reason why I kind of put that together is because we have a scene where. You know, fucking perm boy with the fucking jacket and the
Damon
fucking
Stain. Yeah.
Yeah. He like attacks the fucking singer at one point to kill her because he's fucking fed up. The original singer, you know, he's like, fuck this. You're killing people at our shows and shit. And he cuts her hand off, but the fucking hand like lives on after the attack. It's like a very fucking thing from the Addams Family. And he has to fucking put the kibosh to it with the fucking knife and shit. So that's the only reason I was like, well, the body parts can fucking live on. Maybe that motherfucker is that. Mind you, that is a huge fucking hog on that dude. If that is the fucking hog.
Engorged. let's see the hand because it's actually almost like Evil Dead-ish. They did a pretty good job with this sequence. It's kind of it's like stop motion-ish. I guess you could call it that. Not this part, obviously. it's literally Donald Farmer reaching over the table right now. This dude's hair with the fucking tassels and everything.
This dude is like a post Subway diet candle mass. I also called him that.
He like gently places the knife into the hand too. Yeah. Very just like I'm gonna surgically. Like he was like removing something, but I do like that idea though, that like your body parts can go on. It's like a fucking Jason Goes to Hell type deal,
right? Chris, you have like so much more creativity than the writers of this. I think you're giving them so much. I was like, Jesus, that would be fucking brilliant. A big fucking necrotic dong.
Dude, you should ask Donald Farmer. Be like, hey Donald, is this what you meant? Like with that, is this supposed to be like the dude's dick from the beginning? He's gonna go, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
You're the only person to put that together in all these years.
Hey man, there's
thank God a young man as brilliant as me was able to make these connections.
My genius.
Yeah. Hey man, there's been a few movies where we have like come up with a plausible actual like explanation for the plot hole.
Yeah,
so
dude, usually you're pretty good at that, Mike. Usually you're on your shit. You got your stuff together.
I don't know. The dick monster just threw me for a loop, I guess. I don't know. But I do think it's kind of funny how they keep going with this new singer now who was supposed to be totally like supposed to be normal, I guess, and she would like play the part, but of course after her possession by Dick Monster actually and like a weird staring of the corpse, she is now taken on this demonic entity. And
she like also like sucks the neck of the dead body of the other lead singer.
Yeah, she
like vampires that bitch for a minute for some reason.
Yeah,
wait, I want to hear Grizz's explanation for what the fuck. Where does Michelle Shock live? Do they all live in the same house? Because
I was so confused by that.
Go get some clothes. Sharky, her fucking manager, Mr. Sharky, is like, yeah, go get some fucking clothes, you piece of shit.
She's like,
okay. And then she's at Michelle Shock's house. I'm like, is this like a commune situation? What's going on?
It's like
a
boarding house.
Because I thought like she got killed at her house and then the dude left her house. But yet the dead body's now at his house where she keeps going. But then they go back to her house at one point.
Dimensional thing. We're dealing with demons, yeah, man. Cool. We just
What we really want to do is fucking convince Donald Farmer he wrote House of Leaves. He would love that.
Well, we did watch fucking Cryptic Plasm, and I don't know if you're familiar with that movie, but it's possible interdimensional beings coming together with our reality. Who knows? Maybe Donald Farmer was onto something back then.
But I'm breaking this down. We'll get this motherfucker on the Criterion list. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah,
he's up there.
Yeah, I need 4K of Scream Dream right now. I heard that I read somewhere on a forum, like a forum post from a couple years ago, that they were going to make a sequel to this. That like,
oh, shit.
And I guess it never.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Never
because
came to
he
fruition.
Just did Cannibal Hookers. He did the whole remake of Cannibal Hookers.
I feel like you could.
That.
This is like an easy one to do. Like I feel like this. Yeah. Is, you can't really fuck it up.
Hi, I'm John Waters, and Scream Dream. I'm in the Criterion closet right now. I have to get Scream Dream.
I see him actually watching that for sure.
Well, that's. I wonder, like, the people that, like, originally, like, come up with, like, okay, like, what movies are we going to, like, do for this? Like, what Criterion, like, what's the Criterion collection going to look like in 2024? Like, there's some dude just sitting there, like, Scream Dream. Yeah. And everyone's like,
killing spree.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to break in. I'm going
to
like,
we need someone on the
end, dude. I'm going on, like, I'm going in. I'm going to, like, fucking cut my hair and shit. And I'm going to be like, well, listen. And you start with, like, Sodom, because that's eventually, or Salo.
It's
rather. Salo,
it's art.
Salo will get in there. And then I'm just like, hear me out.
Tiny little film.
It's just a small film that I like to call Cannibal Hookers.
They're like, oh, interesting. Is it an art film?
Dude, somebody has to be pitching this shit.
Look, I understand that you might want to pick Koroneko, but you could also pick Nightmare Asylum by Todd Sheets.
I would love that. We should just start emailing them, like just suggestions, and see if they give us like a polite email back. Like, please stop contacting us. Like, you guys have some sort of fucking brain damage.
Well, did you see the fucking the Severin guys are doing their own thing now, where they have like directors and stuff come in, and they have their own little Severin like closet that they have them pick stuff out of. So they can pick like pervy, weird stuff like the Emmanuel movies.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah,
that's fucking sick. But as this movie goes on, things kind of more people just get killed. We get some people turned into demon zombies.
I love the fucking the singer chick. Her like demon form.
Oh my god, it's good. Awesome.
The full frontal thing that like the full like exposure of like who she becomes and shit. Right before she kills the douchebag fucking like office guy. That's like an awesome shot.
Oh, first of all, that's one of the craziest fucking sequences in the movie. And it kind of comes out of nowhere. First, let's show you what she looks like as a demon. Let's see if YouTube has a problem with demon, naked demons. I don't know.
Boobies? Yeah, we'll find out. There they are. Oh.
This Casio keyboard music is sick.
Dude, they let anime on here. This is fucking fine.
That's true. This is actually streaming on YouTube. Obviously not from Donald Farmer, but this is my VHS, so it's a little bit better. This is better quality.
Fucking amazing,
I love the horror.
Dude.
It runs so well.
It's like a 3/4 body fucking prosthetic. Right? Like it's really a good job, and she fucks this dude up horribly. And like this is, I would say like this is almost legit like torture porn here. Like he just gets his throat cut for a solid 30 seconds. Just like this must be a butter knife because it takes.
Oh yeah, she's really gently stroking his throat with it.
Yeah, this is like when you see like the Mexican cartel executions, and like they're using a dull knife. And it's just like, oh my god!
I think that the effects work in this is so good. Like, it's shockingly awesome. Good. Like the rest of the movie, you can take it or leave it. But when she's a monster,
no, stuff like this is fucking great.
Fantastic.
This audio is fucking pretty haunting. Also, the weird reverb on it. I like it. Unsettling. Look at
there she is.
Just like the loose skin around the neck looks so good moving back and forth with the butter knife.
Yeah. It really is cool. I wonder if Olaf is a fan of this one. I wonder if he's ever seen it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you watch enough shot on video movies and you've seen enough effects where you're like, Jesus, stop showing this, please God. And then like when you see it done like this, or when you see like Burning Moon, or when you see you know, Black Past and stuff, you're like, wow, this fucking rules.
Yeah, like I want to see how far it goes. Keep going. Same thing.
We were just blown away by Las Vegas Bloodbath. Like that movie totally fucking shocked me of how good the special effects were in it, man. Like, so then, like you just said, sometimes you watch them and you're like, fuck, dude, this is, they didn't even try on this motherfucker, dude.
EK says that she needs to be married to the Satan storybook devil. They'd make a great couple.
Oh, that's dude, true. I'm sure you guys covered it. I fucking love Satan's
storybook. Yeah, we did Satan's storybook.
Specifically, yeah, the clown story is absolutely fucking amazing. I am super into the sad clown thing, but just that fucking devil in the cave is one of the coolest looking fucking
things. Oh my god, dude. The fucking, and like the fucking Zeke, the bringer of death thing, where he's straight up he's like strapped to the giant electric chair and he like covers him to the
roof. Floats the fuck in, bro.
Awesome.
It feels like that movie feels like you're reading like a dude made like a heavy metal zine comic after like listening to Grind all fucking weekend, and you were like, this is perfect.
It reminded me of, like, you might remember this shit, like the PBS, like weird kid shows that they would have, that it almost looked like it was like a theater production that was like shot for TV and they would play it on PBS. Like, that's what that shit reminded me of. It's like the general look of it and like the way the costumes were, the sets and the sound and everything. It's just a fucking great low budget anthology film.
I mean, it's interesting you bring that up because there's a lot of scenes here that clearly they like added in or reshot, or I don't know the details of this work of art, you know, but there's clearly like they went into like a studio and had like black tarps up and shot it. And it all reminds me of like the scenes in Burial Ground where it's like, then we put a zombie in the studio room and like fucking shot its guts out up close. Like there are scenes of gore where it's like, why are they all in this fucking black tarped up room? And it was like, that's reshoots. All
right. I love that shit. They do that in Biotherapy.
I like it too.
Yeah. Biotherapy, they do it. And it makes it like, it makes it pop. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing else to focus on except the effect. And if it's done like really well, like the effect, it makes it that much better. And, you know, they did a good job with the effects in this one. I'm pretty shocked how far they went. There's tons of killings in this movie too. I really wasn't expecting it. I thought it was going to be like a semi like softcore porn type thing, like Cannibal Hookers is.
That's the DF move, you know. A lot of the stuff that he makes is like that. Like this could have easily been a Vampire Cop, you know, slow burner.
Yeah. But this is actually more like a real movie. It's more like a normal film. Like it's not, you know, there's nudity obviously and there's a lot of it, but it's, you know,
The coolest scene we couldn't show is the chainsaw in the bed with the girl with their fucking top off, and like the chainsaw comes up through the bed, and like that fucking shit rules, man.
Well, it's like a kid's saw. You guys, I love Alone in the Dark, and the scene where she's on the bed and the knife comes through the fucking mattress, and it's like a middle school kid telling you that scene, but he's like the fucking kid who's full of shit, and he's like, and then a chainsaw comes out, cuts your boobies in half. And you're like, what? Really?
you know, that sucks that kids can't experience that anymore. Like the, I heard it on the playground. Like, dude, Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, I swear to God. This is scary. Then he did this, then he did that, and then like you get older and you see the movies and you're like, that motherfucker never saw that movie. Like, what the fuck?
That straight up, I had a kid like that in like elementary school who was just like chronic lying, and he was like, yeah, Nintendo 64, they're making a whole Gremlins game. And you're gonna play a Gizmo and you're gonna like fight all the Gremlins. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you have all this inside info.
never happened,
dude. We have
it didn't happen.
This whole like through the bed concept thing, it sticks with me so much. I remember being, I had to be fucking young, and my dad fucking loved Married with Children. It was like his favorite show. And there's like an episode where like the Bundys are like on vacation at this place, and there's like a fucking killer, And in one of the scenes, he's under the fucking bed and like shoves a fucking knife up through. And that was like the first time I'd ever fucking seen anything like that was on the fucking Married with Children. And I was like terrified. And like it fucked me up as a kid that like someone was going to be under my bed and fucking stab me and shit.
That's so fucking weird that you brought up Mary. I was literally talking about the episode where they had Anthrax on there today. To somebody. I was like, you got to watch the episode where they have Anthrax. Just jamming out.
So I guess we should probably start wrapping this one up because we still have something else that we got to do, something special.
Important topic.
Yeah, so eventually our Dave Mustaine-esque dude has to exterminate this demon problem that this random Tennessee town is having. And by doing that, by killing this she demon, I don't know. I don't even know what the fuck you're going to call it. That would be the end of it. We'll see. That's not really the case. But I did find the scene of him finally stabbing her incredibly funny because it's like really not like it's anticlimactic. Not
violent. Non-violent. Really.
It's yet again, it's like super gentle. Like they didn't have any prop knives. They're all real blades. So they have to be really careful. I feel like that's what was going on here. Like they didn't have somebody making like a really nice fake knife. It's like, no, we're just going to dull this out on the concrete a little bit. And then just be careful. Okay.
Don't go too deep into her body because her organs are
don't puncture the abdominal wall, please don't. This is the end of the she demon in a very gentle way. Dave Mustaine looks like a totally different person at this point, too.
He wasn't a different person at this point.
He pulls out the huge fucking blade.
Careful. And careful.
Hits her in the side.
What do you mean I gotta stab one of my bandmates?
Look, he pulls the knife out too, just in case he needs it again. I do like the Randy Rhodes-esque rhythm track under the solo, though. I do gotta say, it's pretty good.
I wanted his hair to get fucking bigger in every scene, like that scary movie fucking sheriff's hat gets bigger.
He does
half the screen. It's just fucking.
He's like, now I'm in Coheed and Cambria. Look at me.
he does get prettier as it goes on. I gotta say, he starts looking better. He might, you know, I don't know. But eventually, we do get a return of the dick monster. One more time for Grizz. And I do like this ending because you can't just fucking have the good guy win. That sucks, man. There's no sequel then.
He looks like that.
So he wakes up from a bad dream where he thinks that she is alive at her gravesite. And, you know, you see a hand come up from in front of the gravestone. But he's now in his room. He sees something moving. It can only be one thing. A demonic dick. Coming for that ass. Actually, he bites his own dick. Damn, dick on dick violence.
Yeah, the worst.
What do you mean my dick got bitten off?
Yeah, imagine going to the hospital with that.
Filmed right there.
You go to the ER. My penis got bitten off by a monster. I think it was also a penis. It's like, okay, let's, we're going to have to get you psychologically evaluated. And you haven't been watching the BME Pain Olympics, have you? Like,
what? Dude, the chick who replaces Michelle Shock, you guys know who that chick is, right?
No, I don't know who that is.
It's his partner from Samurai Cop, the chick on the helicopter who he fucks at the beginning. Yeah, I was like, watching my fucking bootleg of this, and it's like looks like shellacked 15 times in Vaseline, and I was like, no, I'd recognize those warlocks anywhere. That's the chick from Samurai Cop. Sure enough, I was right.
So
that's Benny, another movie. Holy shit, Samurai Cop.
We'll do maybe one day we'll do Samurai Cop.
Some action.
We'll do a little action. But Benny, why don't you give us your final thoughts on Scream Dream?
I mean, I think like relative to some shot on video I've seen that it's like physically painful to get through, this thing moves, man. Like whether you like it or not, it's like a tight hour and change. The gore in it is great. I think that like despite you having to hear like two songs five times each, not bad. Like you could definitely do worse. And I love all like the I every time a heavy metal movie comes out and like attempts to replicate what the heavy metal scene is like and fails, it always does it for me. Like whether it's like Shock 'Em Dead, where like that lead singer dude is like really, really effeminate and you're like, what's happening here? Or like Hack a Lantern, where like he's not even the fucking lead singer in his fantasy, he's the rhythm guitarist. Yeah. Yeah. But like this Dead works for me.
One of my favorite. I forgot about
chicks,
that.
Chicks are hot, boobers, fucking gore, and like the makeup effects are great. They're legitimately great. So it's like it's a recommend for me.
Chris?
You know, monster costume, I fucking love. Full prosthetic, the whole bodysuit thing, man. I'm a sucker for that shit. This movie is by far, I think, one of Donald Farmer's best.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to sit down and watch a Donald Farmer movie, it's probably going to be this one.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think this is my favorite Donald Farmer movie. Let me just make sure. Let me just go over this list.
Log real quick.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is my favorite Donald Farmer movie for sure. It's on YouTube. You could watch it. I don't know if there's, you could go buy a VHS from Forrest, right? Didn't he put out a retro
release? He put it
video?
Out. It's a real gnarly rip on YouTube. So like,
yeah,
it's a bad.
Yeah. Definitely go buy it from Forrest. I don't know. Does he still have them available? If not,
I think he does.
Yeah. Go pick those up. That's fucking awesome. Support
a retro release video, correct?
Yes,
that's right.
Of course.
In case you don't know who Forrest is. In case you
Yeah. I think I said it at one point. I bet you everybody knows who he is compared to fucking us.
I'm sure.
Everybody fucking knows. If we were walking around with him, they're going to come up to him first before us.
Oh, 100%.
We look like we're scoring meth or something. Who the fuck knows? But
that hot piece of ass.
Before we get into our final little thing that we want to do here, we just want to mention that next week, Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, we will be covering Death Nurse. This is one that we've been talking about doing for a while, from 1987. When I say it's right up our alley, it is right up our fucking alley. Absolutely ridiculous movie. It's available on YouTube also. I think that's on there. Super short. Right, sub hour, I think it's 59 minutes.
That's my sweet 58 spot.
Minutes.
I love it.
You gotta love it. But that's next Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. I almost had it. I was on a roll.
Fumbled that,
dude. That's a great fucking movie. It's like if Chris Farley's lunch lady character, if you squint, if she was a murderer, you know.
Yes.
I'm sold.
This shit's gonna be awesome. So. We thought instead of doing a regular Wide World of Metal, it kind of still is a Wide World of Metal because, well, who we're going to talk about is not from America originally. So it works. We will be discussing who has the best music videos, King Diamond Solo or Merciful Fate. One thing I'm going to say right off the bat, I like Merciful Fate's albums better as a whole.
Yeah.
I would say I listen to more Merciful Fate than King Diamond Solo. I do enjoy them. I like Abigail. Those are really like the two I listen to the most out of like his solo shit. I didn't really get into the later, you know, like the 90s albums. I don't know.
Conspiracy? Is that
Conspiracy's a good one. Actually, I listened to Conspiracy too.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, that's an okay one. But I'm more of a Merciful Fate guy. I am actually not too familiar with any of the music videos besides one of them that we have here. In total, out of the four clips. Yeah. Benny, what about you, man? Are you Merciful Fate or a King Diamond Solo guy, just music-wise?
So I got to see both of them play like maybe like 2 years apart. And like awesome. Merciful Fate was, they played in Philly. They were with Creator and Midnight. And God, they were so good, man. Like they were so incredibly good that it had me go back and reevaluate all that stuff. And I'm not going to lie. I'm like split down the middle on that stuff. I like sometimes I'm like in a Merciful Fate mood and I can listen to all those albums. And sometimes like I said, Conspiracy, I'll put on and listen to all of Conspiracy or them. So, it's tough. I think that
this is really like, tough.
Yeah.
This is a tough one, man. It's like, if I'm like my favorite song, is Black Funeral, which is a Merciful Fate song. But like, if I'm going to listen to like the best guitar playing between the two of them, I'm gonna listen to fucking the King Diamond solo stuff. I think the guitar playing is better in those albums than in the Merciful Fate stuff. Not saying that Merciful Fate is bad guitar playing, but like the solos and fucking the King stuff is insane.
Yeah, I feel like it's yeah. a different time period. You know what I mean? It's like the later 80s where like that, well, mid to later 80s, while like the Merciful Fate stuff is earlier, where I feel like they weren't really like, I don't know. It wasn't as crazy at that point.
You could still have stuff from the 90s too, though. I mean, they go.
Yeah.
I don't even listen to that. I don't even listen to that either. I'm stuck in the 80s. I don't know what the fuck. I was introduced to was the 80s shit.
They're just like such good music. Like he just always has a good group of musicians with him. So it's like, oh, do I listen to Welcome Home? Which like, yeah, they make fun of it in like Jane, Silent Bob, and that fucking track rules. Like,
yeah, it's still awesome. Yeah.
Song, or do I listen to Ghost Dance, which also freaking rules? Like, I don't know. Both, it's a win-win for me.
I love Welcome Home, dude. I have a fucking King Diamond tattoo that says Grandma on it. Like, that's my shit, dude. I don't care if it's they make fun of it or not either. Like that song kicks ass.
All right.
But as far as the music videos go,
yeah,
I personally think that the Merciful Fate music videos are better than the King Diamond music videos. I think the King Diamond stuff gets a little corny sometimes. He gets a little too theatrical with it. Whereas the fucking Merciful Fate stuff has a little bit of that, but it's just like still badass and like more evil, I think, I guess, in a way.
Okay. I have four clips here. I'm going to play the four clips, right? We're going to make a decision after this little, obviously it's not a full scientific experiment. We're just going off of four clips. We don't have, you know, a larger pool to go off of or enough time to go off them either, but whatever. Yeah. So let's get this rolling with one of my actual favorite King Diamond songs, Family Ghost. One of my favorite songs to play on guitar also. I fucking love this shit. But this is the only music video that I am familiar with out of the four of these.
Ruin court and shit like that, dude.
Eating the turkey leg and everything. We have
like a jester that comes in. It's funny as fuck, dude.
Merciful Fate Egypt. All right. I am not familiar with this video. Oh, he's got the green screen going.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
I feel like I need the MTV logo on the side of this.
No, that's not
and like Beavis movie. And Butthead. Fucking, I guess that would be us three right now.
Oh, it's so fucking good, man. Like,
I love the two screen thing, man. It fucking works for me.
The thing about King Diamond too is like King Diamond is like a hot fudge sundae. That's how it feels. It's like you're like like there's metal that you like. There's like the fucking M&Ms and there's like soft serve and shit. King Diamond's like, yeah, I put it all together, baby.
Hey,
we got Corpse Paint. Like, we got sick shredding. We got falsettos. We got skulls. We got an upside. We got a cross.
We got
spike stand. And you're like, what? It's like your dreams come true when you listen to this.
Dude, that's legitimately how it feels.
It's somehow like not corny at all. It's like for whatever reason, you're just like, no, it's fine. This is fine. I love this.
And there's so many bands that have tried to do this over again and they fucking suck. And it is corny.
It's hard to replicate.
It only works when fucking when King is behind the wheel, man. Like there's just something about it.
All right. So we got Sleepless Nights. We have the solo from Sleepless Nights. You know it's gonna be good
I had to take the solo.
Look at that, wearing the bear fucking necklace.
God.
Is that a snakeskin paint job?
Probably. Did this run right here after this fucking?
I like can't like not nod my head to this. Yeah, like everybody.
Damn.
So good.
All right. Our final.
Last but not least.
Yeah. Yeah. Witch's Dance. This is. I've never seen the video for this. I'm
surprised you've never seen this one. This is a classic fucking video.
I never went out and looked for them. I always just like listened to the albums. I never.
King with the fucking Rottweiler. That might be my favorite fucking thing of all time. Like, all that's right. just so
this
badass.
Is, I think dude. This is my favorite, like, King Diamond related video. Yeah. yeah.
Oh, okay. I've seen things from this. I don't think I've seen the whole thing, though. That's where, like, these things are from.
Yeah, 100%.
Look at that Rickenbacker. Oh, yeah, that is. Look at that dog. Beautiful.
So awesome.
Just a bonfire on the... That looks like a beach. That doesn't even look like the desert. That looks like it's on a sand dune.
It's the perfect mix. He has the theatrical stuff with the fucking dream scene with the ladies dancing, but then he's just like badass with the band.
Yeah.
And the band looks so fucking cool in the night shots when they're like the fucking, like the mist is coming up behind them and they're just fucking playing that riff. Yeah, that's the best fucking video.
So
that's what gets me is like the fucking night shots feels like something like you would have caught on MTV between like two things that were terrible. And you'd be like, what is this?
Hold on.
How do I inject this into my fucking vein?
Brendan, yeah, 100%. Brendan Timmons, y'all ever hear King Diamond's Christmas song, No Presents for Christmas, right?
Oh, of course, man.
You fucking kidding me? Everybody listens to that
shit. It's a yearly tradition, baby.
So what's the verdict, guys? I think everybody knows.
Yeah, I mean, Merciful Fate has the better videos, man.
Merciful Fate.
I mean, King Diamond rules. The solo stuff rules.
I wish I had the air horn right now. I should have never taken that off. God damn. But you know what? I think that just about wraps it up for this week. We did a speed run with that Wide World of Metal. We could probably talk about King Diamond for a full hour. So
I could go.
Let's not get too deep on that. Benny, I want to thank you for coming. You can come on anytime you want. I'll have to have you come to my house one day.
I hope I didn't derail your shit too much.
No, this was so much fucking fun, man.
This was perfect.
We'll have to do this in person. I think it's possible. I think we live close enough now where it's doable. We'll have Mr. Grizz come down and we'll have a grand old time in the dungeon down here. Benny, where could they find you on the internet?
I'm at the Analog Abattoir on Peru Morgue. I just finished up an article. It's kind of going to be coming out on Demon Wind, a personal favorite.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, and we're doing Seal of Satan. We've got Hell Fidelity, where we've got people writing horror fiction for us.
We're doing
Savage Babes. We got an episode coming out on Undefeatable, the Cynthia Rothrock movie with the guy with the knife.
Yes.
So check out my stuff. And I encourage people to check you guys out because you're like balls deep in the nightmare world of shot on video. Good or bad. Sometimes you put your dick into the glory hole and it's bliss, and sometimes it's like not so good.
It doesn't scare me away, though. It doesn't scare me away.
We do the drugs, so you don't have to. It's one of those things. You can read about what happens to us. Like, Grizz, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at @Kane_Enabler.
And you can find me at Bad Taste Video. And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. We stream this live every Tuesday night on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. You can find this in podcast form everywhere where you could get audio. And there's shit that I've never even heard of that you can listen to this stuff on. Some sort of like, you ever see that shit? Like all like the Leech podcast.
Yeah.
Like fucking feeds and it's fucking.
It's always like check us out on Jizzer and you're
It's like, how did I listen
to me
there?
On Jizzer? Hit me up. I want to know. That's for sure.
We're all about slinging goo around here. But yeah, every Tuesday night you can find us. Next week we're going to be watching Death Nurse. Thank you everybody in the chat for coming. Thank you everybody for listening. As always, you could go and watch this right after we're done on our YouTube channel under the live section. We don't edit it or anything. It goes right up. And you can see the stupid shit we do. But thank you. We'll see you next week. Benny, thank you for coming.
Thanks, guys. Goodbye, thanks for having
everybody.
Me.